the pain in holy upon the help of the Holy Spirit. I bring your attention to Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and the third verse. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The 12th chapter of Hebrews and the third verse. I feel that this verse, the Holy Spirit sweetly applies it to each of us here tonight, is the answer to many of the problems and pathway and experience that God's dear people pass through. And I will tell you why. Because so often when temptation arises, afflictions come, troubles abound in our pathway and experience and in the Church of God, we are considering much about the trouble we're in. I know that the wise man in Ecclesiastes tells us, in the day of adversity consider, it is right we should. But don't rest on just considering yourself and the sad plight and state you're so often in. The answer is in this text. To all this trouble. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Now how often, when those things come that I have named, we begin to be weary and faint in our minds. But if we're enabled by the help and grace of God to consider him, this will lift you out of all that you're in. Have you known what it is to consider the pathway and lot of the Lord Jesus and what he endured? Because this will help you to endure what you're passing through maybe tonight. Consider him. May we not be left to just consider the Lord those times when we're in the house of God, or when we gather around his table, those of us that are favoured too. I trust there is a right consideration of it. But may we, in the pathway that we tread in, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Think how often you begin to faint when trouble comes. It may be you're in some sort of soul trouble and temptation tonight, and you feel just as though you're fainting. It's not a very pleasant experience naturally to faint, and far greater so spiritually. Faint in experience. Weary. Feel as though you're going to give up. You will in and of yourself, so would I. Now the answer is in this beautiful text. I feel if only we could keep this ever before us, especially those first three words, for consider him. I may have told you before, a dear lady that I used to have come to us at home regularly, she's now in heaven. I remember going to Stevenage Hospital to see her in a deep affliction. She had to go down into the operating theatre and have a serious operation. And you know, the Lord wonderfully blessed her in that hospital. He lifted her out of all what she was in by showing her what was in this text. So when she was enabled to go down, when the hour came to undergo the operation, all she could consider, all she wanted to consider was Christ. And she was led by the Spirit to view a little of the sufferings that he endured. Now if the Lord favours you like he did her, to view the sufferings that he endured, you'll lose sight of all yours. Your sufferings will make you faint and be weary. But as you consider him, this will lift you right out of all what you're in, and all your wannabe Christ. Now she had this before, so she went down into the theatre. A precious Christ, his sufferings, his death. And when she came out of the anaesthetic, she viewed him, Christ. And it was he that was so precious to her right the way through that stay in that hospital. I believe it's one of the sweetest hospital wards I've ever been in. To visit a character. Why was it? Because all her consideration was upon Christ. She was a happy woman. Now you think in your pathway, there may be ever so much, and I know if you're real, you have ever so much to weigh you down. Ever so much to exercise. Ever so much to concern you. But oh, don't forget to consider him. What he endured, one said, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from death and hell. Oh, consider him. And this will help you. I feel persuaded of this tonight. This is the message to deliver. It may be for one character. This will help you to endure the lot which you're walking in at this present time. As you're enabled to consider him. You may say, well, oh, look at the temptations I'm in, and the darkness and distress of my mind. I think of some of the Lord's dear people that almost they were driven out of their minds by the fierceness and severeness of the temptations. But oh, consider him. He knew, Christ knew, what it was to be sorely tempted of Satan. You look after his baptism, where he went down into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights of Satan. There was no, and I say it with profound reverence, there was no let up in that temptation. It was the most severe of all temptations. Yours is but a drop in the ocean, as Mr. Gascoigne used to say, compared with his. may be tempted sore for several hours, and you may feel, how can I endure this? You can't of yourself. But he's only got to show you the Lord has just a little of the temptations that he endured. And you'll see your temptations just fade away. This is the answer. And I feel to it this, that such is the suitability of Christ, that it's suited to your very soul's case. Did not the poet say, it's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good? It's none but He that can come and grant your poor heart what you long for. Oh, consider Him. Consider Him. Consider those temptations. Satan has great power. And the temptations that you will have to endure will be so real. They'll be so real. I would almost say this, and I know it's true, that they'll be as real as the blessings. Because the temptations of God's dear people are ever so real, the temptations. They're no mere fancy. They're ever so real. And it's only the Lord that can cast out Satan. It's only the Lord that can deliver you in this hour of temptation. We mentioned coming here tonight of what Paul said. I believe it's to the Corinthians that there's no temptation taketh you, but such as is common unto man. Often, you may be tempted that you're in a temptation that none other of God's people experience. So you can't be right. This is what Satan will tell you. And he'll be so real to you. But sin. Paul says, and he knew it well, he knew what it was to be tempted. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common unto man. But listen, he doesn't leave it there, and this is what I love so about that word. That God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that she may be able to bear it. There will be the way of escape, and the Lord will make this. And He'll make the escape and the deliverance so real that your soul will come out praising Him even for the bitterest hours of the temptation. Because so great will be the change from the darkness and distress and anguish of the temptation. And now, delivered, is such joy and peace and liberty. You're like a bird let out of a cage. Now, if he shows you the temptations that he endured, for consider him, and he endured them. Don't forget that. I just want a word on that. Don't forget that a precious Christ endured this. He endured it. And if you and I are real, we shall have to endure it. There's no getting round it, you know. You've got to go right through it, you see. And it is these characters that approve the blessed deliverance of the Lord. Now you have to endure this. You may say, well, I don't feel I can. You can't of yourself. But I would just direct you to what's in the chapter previous regarding Moses and how he endured, and that's a great help to me and has been for several years now. He endured as seeing him who is invisible, this precious Jesus. Now that's how you endure it. Like we sung in the hymn just a moment ago, it'll be looking unto him. This is how you're enduring. But then consider the afflictions that you pass through. We find in Isaiah recorded this, that in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Oh, don't forget the afflictions that Christ endured. So often, you know, we look at ours, and especially if we feel rather poorly in health and in soul too, and we look at our afflictions and we are wearied and we are fainting. We are sinking. And the longer we are in the state left to ourselves, what do? We pour on ourselves longer and we sink lower. But you know, the hymn writer had the answer to this. And it's this word, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity join with power. Oh, don't forget the afflictions that he endured. Don't pour on yours. Consider him. May this be, and the Holy Spirit alone can apply this to you and to me, the word of exhortation, for consider him. There may be something that's particularly making you feel as though you sink tonight, causing you to feel weary and heavy laden, ever so faint. This particular thing, and you consider it so much you can't see the house of God is still with you, and it really weighs you down. But oh, look higher than that. Look above this as the Lord helps you to this text. For consider him. He knew affliction, both of body and of soul. He was spit upon. He was scourged. Men reviled him. You think of the times when they sought to stone, take away his life, but they couldn't touch him. Oh, consider him. But then consider too his suffering. Of his sufferings, one said, so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. But the child of God is brought by faith to view them in a little measure, these sufferings. And not only to view them, but to enter into the sufferings of Christ. And how will you enter into it? You enter into it by walking through the same steps and the same things in measure. And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is revealed to your poor soul, suffering in your room, place and stay. It's a good word of the poet. I often have to mention it. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And I would consider too tonight those pierced hands and feet. Oh, we need much reverence to enter into this, I feel, this evening. Thomas wanted to know for himself that this was the Christ. This was he that was dead and is alive again. I know he was plagued by that terrible sin of unbelief. But oh, I do feel there's such a love to that dear man where he desires to know for himself, you see. And he said, except I thrust, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now as soon as he did, we find faith blessedly speaking for us a precious word. And if the Lord favours you like he did Thomas, you all know what it is to consider him. What was he enabled to say? May the Lord bring every one of us here tonight to the place. Thou art my Lord and my God. Oh, that was a sweet place. You know, I believe this, that dear Thomas never forgot those pierced hands, that wounded side. He got something to consider. Have you and I tonight? You know, the world have got nothing to consider, only time things. They never are brought to consider eternity, left in their unregenerate state, and nor can you and nor can I. But if God has given us, like he did the Apostle Paul, his grace, a desire to be right for eternity, you ought to have something to consider. And he has set before you, if I know anything of it at all, a precious grace. When the Lord began with me, just to illustrate the point, he killed me of everything of time. It didn't matter what I had here in the earth, even my loved ones around me had death stamped on them. He stamped death on everything of the earth. And then he set before me this. He set before me a precious Christ. Does the one thing that is needful. Now as he set this before you, he did the apostle. Christ does the one thing that is needful. Now, you'll have something to consider then. You'll be able to consider him, this precious Jesus. I'd ask you this tonight, my own heart too. Do we know anything of the preciousness of Christ? You consider it. Before God, these considerations in this text are not just natural considerations, they're heart considerations before God. For consider him. Oh, you do consider him. And you'll consider him as the all and in all to your poor soul. For consider him then that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Oh, the contradiction of sinners he had. So were you. We find, I believe it's in the 15th chapter of John, if I remember rightly, about the Lord Jesus speaking of the pathway that he had trod, and that his people would tread. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But oh, think how they persecute. Oh, don't be surprised. You may be walking the pathway to die of persecution. They persecuted him. Oh, you'll walk the same lot, you see. The persecution that he endured. Oh, you consider this. And then too, I would lead your considerations and my own too, as the Holy Spirit helps us, to consider Isaiah 53. I know I haven't got time tonight to go right through it. I'd love to, but you go through it at your leisure. But I would just name there. Look at the pathway and experience that he records as the dear prophet of God there, regarding what the Lord Jesus would walk through. He was despised and rejected of me. Or you may be walking a path feeling so where you are just despised, and may even be rejected of me. I know a dear man has walked this pathway now for several years, and he's walked the same path that his dear master had. And I believe this, there have been times in his heart when he's been able to say that he wouldn't have any part of it ordered, because he has seen Christ and known him to be with him in the pathway that he's drawn. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to see Jesus in the trial, in the affliction, in the distress, in the pathway of persecution. You see Christ in it. And if you've got him with you in it, sinner, you've got all things. You've got all things. I would just add this for those of you that are young and in the seeking after the ways of God. Oh, don't just consider yourselves generally today, especially among the youth. They think, well, all they consider generally is themselves. They don't respect anybody else. I feel sad about it really, because the generation today, for the most part, just want to consider themselves. But here, we have one that we should consider. May you, in your early days of life, be brought to consider him. And even in married life, in your home, don't just consider yourselves and those loved ones you have in the house, but consider him. Several years ago, in taking a wedding at Lake and Heath, I told the couple this. I said, you want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord has promised that all these things shall be added unto you. I said, you keep that in your days of married life, whether they be few or long, ever before you. first the kingdom of God. Do you think in your life, in your personal experience, and the things you're walking through, oh, consider him. May we not just consider him while we're in the house of God here in Swansea tonight, but through the days of this week. You may say, well, we haven't time, we're so busy in business and in the affairs that we have to deal with. Haven't you got time to consider him? Wonderful thing, you know, when the Holy Spirit reveals a precious Christ to your soul, and you can be as busy as anything in business, and yet all your consideration is upon Christ. Maybe upon the tractor in the field, maybe in the house, and though you do all what is required of you to the best of your ability, all you consider is him. Oh, it's a sweet place. I can't express in words the value of having the favour to be able to do this. You won't feel as though you're in the earth. Oh, you'll want to be growing. The hymn writer summed it up beautifully when he said, compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Now this is the pattern that is set before us in this text of really the consideration that we should have as we venture through this pilgrimage journey here below, for consider him. But so often, we forget him. Oh, don't forget that tonight. You think of the times. It makes me sad sometimes. You can come out of a chapel, or I'm not condemning anybody, but you can come out of a chapel sometimes and everybody talks about what sort of weather it is and this sort of thing, but how much consideration is there of Jesus after we've gone from the house of God? I'll tell you what I love about this, is when sometimes on a Monday, now sometimes Mondays I know are black Mondays for ministers. Mr. Hammond often used to say that, because we often chew, as it were, the card of the past day and think of all we've left out, and Satan seems to come in and says, oh, but you completely failed. And it seems like a black Monday. But I trust there have been at times when all I've considered is a precious Jesus. And it's been a sweet day. Oh, may you in this coming week keep, as the Holy Spirit enables you, this exhortation before you, for consider him. And then I would just add this. Consider those that love him. Christ, you know, will be first. And then you'll consider those that do love him. Sometimes my mind goes round before I arise, particularly on a Sunday morning. I usually awake early. And I go round some of our chapels where I have those that I love. And I try and beg of God the Lord had come to them. I try and consider them in their situation and what they're in, and plead with the Lord that he would appear for them. Or you consider those that love him. They're very precious to you. But mainly your concern will be, give me Christ or else I die. But you'll go round these. It may be they're miles away. You know, you can have a person 100 miles away and you consider them. in all what they're in, and plead as the Lord helps you for them. And then it'll be yourself last. Now you know the meaning of joy, really, and joy will proceed from this text, because we have in the verse previous concerning this that all the sufferings that Christ had before him of the cross and the agonies which he was to endure, there was one thing that was set before precious Jesus. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it, but just examine the verse previous. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and then this: who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, set before the Lord Jesus with all the sufferings that he endured was the joy. Set before you will be the joy. Sweet thing, you know. But you know what the meaning of joy really means. God's dear people know it by experience. And I would couple it to what I have just said about Jesus being first. This will be it. Jesus first, the J, you see. The O for others, and the Y for yourself. Now that will be the order if we are in a right condition before God.